Welcome to the Live Like It's True podcast, where we look at some of the most interesting and astonishing stories of the Bible and ask, how can we live like this story is true? I'm your host, Shannon Popkin. I'm an author, a speaker, and a Bible teacher. And here on the podcast, I'm inviting you to drink deeply of the true story of the Bible and live like it's true. I'm so excited to tell you about my two new books launching this spring. And here in the podcast, I'll be hosting two series in correlation with each of these books. So first, we'll do the Sarah series, and we'll look at the life of Sarah in Genesis 12 through 21, which is the topic of my brand new Bible study, Shaped by God's Promises, Lessons from Sarah on Fear and Faith. I love this story of the Bible, and I can't wait to dive in with you, both in the pages of this new book and here on the podcast. My second book launching is Comparison Girl for Teens. So excited about this book, co-authored by my dear friend, Lee Nienhuis. We poured our hearts into this super fun and truth-packed resource that we know is going to help so many teens find freedom from the comparison trap. So here on the podcast, we'll be doing a comparison series, looking at how Jesus compared in a completely different way. I hope that every one of these amazing conversations will inspire you to better know the story, share the story, and live like the story is true. In these early episodes of the Sarah series, I'm talking with four women whose stories were highlighted in my new Bible study, Shaped by God's Promises. I'll be weaving thoughts from throughout Sarah's story, found in Genesis 12 through 21, into these conversations. And then later on in the series, we'll return to our more typical format and talk through Sarah's story scene by scene. I just know you're going to want to hear each one of these conversations with Bible teachers, Courtney Doctor, Ann Swindell, Carol Kent, and others. Heather Kofer is our guest today. She is a wife and a mom. She's a mother of six. She and her family live in Northern California, and she has a passion for encouraging women to love Jesus. She's the author of Expectant, Cultivating a Vision for Christ-Centered Pregnancy. And last time, in the first episode, we talked about Heather's experience growing up in Mongolia and some of the risks that they were exposed to living there as missionaries. So last time, Heather was telling us about her 12th birthday, where her mom was expecting her eighth child and had just begun having pregnancy complications, and they had decided it was best to airlift her to a medical facility. So there was a lot of commotion. There were people taking her mom away. You know, it was very jarring. And in the middle of all of that, Heather's dad pulled her aside for a really important conversation. So we're going to pick up where we left off and hear about Heather's story of fear and faith.
I remember it was very significant, a conversation that my dad had with me, because it was so devastating. It was devastating to all of us and really scary that all these people were coming to putting my mom on a stretcher and taking her out of the country.
Heather, can you tell us what your dad, what that conversation with your dad was? What did he share with you?
He, right before they left, as my mom was being prepared to go, he pulled me aside. I was just so devastated. Birthdays have always been a big deal to me and in our family in general. Mm-hmm. And so there were multiple aspects of this besides just being afraid, all these things that in my childhood mind, I couldn't reconcile them very well. And he pulled me aside and he said, Heather, I know this is so, so difficult for you. And this is scary, but I have one older brother. He said, you as the oldest daughter have such an opportunity to show your younger siblings what it looks like to trust in the Lord. Mm-hmm. And I'm just going to commission you in this experience that's so hard to live that out in front of them and to show them what it's like to bring that disappointment and that fear to the Lord. And then my grandparents happened to be there at the time visiting, but they weren't planning to go to Mongolia. But then all of a sudden they had to take us all there. So he said, I'm trusting you to help your grandparents to get around the city. I probably knew more Mongolian than the rest of my siblings.
So let me just interject. So your dad is leaving with your mom?
With my mom.
And your grandparents are, is it your mom's parents?
Yes.
Are staying with you guys.
In Mongolia.
I can't, this is hard for everybody. I mean, your dad, and I just love the way your dad is being selfless and focusing on you, right? And commissioning you to do exactly what he in that moment is doing. You know, he's turning his attention from his wife to how can I disciple my daughter? And he's asking you to do the same thing. How can you disciple your siblings in this moment to not focus on the threats, but instead focus on your theology? Like there is a choice that we have when we're faced with threats. And, and this is something we see over and over in Abraham and Sarah's story. When a threat comes, we have a choice. Are we going to focus on the threats or on our theology? And he's choosing, I'm going to focus on my theology and I'm going to invite and commission. I love you use that word, commission my daughter to do the same thing. But I mean, I'm just in my mind, tell me if I've got the scene right.
Yeah.
There's a helicopter. There's a stretcher. It's your birthday. There's probably a cake. There's grandparents. There's siblings. There's tears. There's a husband trying to care for his family and his wife at the same time. There's commotion. Do I have it right? Tell me what did I get wrong there?
Yes. Yeah. There was the little like charter plane that they were taking her to. But yeah, that was very... You're probably picturing it pretty accurately. And I just felt such a strength that day. Like my dad trusts me, and not just because I'm capable, but because he knows I love the Lord and the Lord is going to enable me. You know, this on my 12th birthday, there was this sort of unique opportunity that I had to mature. And I just was like, okay, I'll take that commission. And like my grandparents, they need visas to get into Thailand and all of that. So I was leading the taxis to take my grandpa to get, you know, to the Thai embassy so that he could get visas. And then a few of my siblings got chicken pox. And so I was trying to help my grandma with my younger siblings who were, then they had to travel with them while chicken pox. I mean, it was just such a crazy experience. But I will never forget what that did, where he didn't discount the pain and the fearfulness of the situation. But he, in the midst of that, turned my eyes back to Christ and the reality of being in Christ and what that meant for me, even as a child.
Yeah. You know, I think a lot of us would look at a 12-year-old and think, I just want to shield her. You know, I want to make her forget this thing with her mom and just help her celebrate her birthday or whatever. But like, that's not what I see in Abraham's story. Like God sent them out without even really knowing him yet.
Yeah.
Abraham was worshiping the moon, you know, and then God appeared to him. And the first thing God says to him in Genesis 12 is, get thee out. And then he follows up with, you know, there are going to be all of these blessings that will come to you in this promised land. But Abraham doesn't know anything about anything. I mean, he's a completely foreign God to him.
Yeah.
And I mean, I just love that he's a baby in his faith, right? He's just a new, just coming to faith. And so you had more maturity than that. But even like, I think I look at a 12-year-old, I think, oh, she couldn't possibly. But yes, because of God's spirit living inside of you, you could, and you could obey too.
Yeah.
None of us are too young in our faith to make the choice to believe and to obey.
Right. Yeah. And as you're talking, I'm just thinking about that Hebrews passage of the hall of faith, you know, by faith, right? And they're supposed to be examples to us. And it's just, I love as you were talking how in thinking about Abraham as someone who had just been called out of a pagan lifestyle and the kind of faith to just go. Just go. Just start moving.
Yeah.
I'll show you where it is that you go.
Yeah. And another parallel I see in your story is when they arrived, I said, instead of getting blessed, they got a test, you know? So they arrive in this promised land and immediately there's a famine. Yeah. And so, you know, the parallel that I see in your story is Abraham led his caravan to Egypt to get food. And a lot of people criticize that, like saying, you know, it's wrong to go to Egypt. I'd look at that and say, well, Jesus's parents, they fled to Egypt too. So I don't necessarily think going to Egypt is the problem. Perhaps he should have called upon the Lord. He's a brand new believer though. And I make the parallel with, it's not wrong for your mom to go to, you know, get this medical help. Like that's not wrong. We're not disbelieving God. But I think some people listening might say, oh my gosh, they take their 8 kids to Mongolia and then, you know, God allows them to go through this hardship, you know, and on Heather's birthday, my goodness. And, and, you know, just the hardship of having a difficult pregnancy, of being on bed rest as a missionary, you've got to be kidding me. Then chicken pox, like, come on, it's too much. But God is not afraid to give us these tests.
Right.
Right.
Yeah, absolutely.
And what did that produce in your family? Like what happened because of that test?
Yeah.
God's promises are like a set of parentheses. The first one is when he makes the promise. The second one is when he keeps it. And you never have one without the other. But often there's this long stretch between the two, much longer than we first imagined, right? That's what we see in Sarah's story found in Genesis 12 through 21. God promised a son, but in this wide stretch between the parentheses, she wondered, would God keep his promises? Could he? I'm Shannon Popkin, inviting you to come find the answer to those questions, both for Sarah and yourself, in my brand new 6-week Bible study titled Shaped by God's Promises, Lessons from Sarah on Fear and Faith. Find out how you too can be shaped by God's promises in the waiting.
Well, I look back on it today and I see how there were, along with those tests, the fact that my grandparents were even there. I mean, they only came every few years to visit us. So the fact that they were there visiting at all, I just see, wow, yes, the Lord allowed us to walk through this trial as a family, this test of faith. But he had made provision already for those things. He went before us in that. And so when I look back, I see evidences of his faithfulness to say, yes, I'm allowing you to walk through this, but I've already prepared everything that you will need to walk through it. And you might not see it all now, but as you look back on it, you will see evidences of my faithfulness and my love for you. And now as an adult, many years out from that experience, the lessons it's still teaching me about how I can trust the Lord in circumstances that I don't understand. Mm. I think about those things often, and I tell my children about those things, the things that the Lord did. And my husband, actually, we met overseas. We were both missionary kids over there. They lived in a different part of the country. But they have several stories, especially one that's even, I mean, that's so extreme. We didn't know them very well at the time, but we'd met them a few times. But my husband's younger brother was in a severe horse accident. His foot got caught in a stirrup and a dog came out and spooked this horse and it took off running and just dragged his brother for about 200 yards.
Oh my goodness.
Kicked in the head. Oh. I mean, he was just so, they didn't think that he would make it, but miraculously he did. They were able to get a flight from out way in the middle of nowhere where they lived to the city and then out to South Korea where he was evacuated because he was in a coma. They didn't know what extent of damage had happened to his brain, to his, I mean, his jaw was destroyed on one side. I mean, it was just so traumatic. And my parents had said, we'll take your kids when they came in. We hardly knew them, but they're like, if you need somebody to take your other kids for you while you guys go out of the country with Jonas, his name, we'll watch them for you. And they were like, okay, you know, in that crisis mode. And the Lord did unbelievable things in that story. He went from, they thought he would never wake up, to, I mean, today he's married, he's a dad. I mean, it's just amazing. But many people have asked, like, why do you think you give up everything? You go overseas, you go to the middle of nowhere, you're sacrificing over and over again, and then you're put in this position where your child is injured so traumatically. And for one, they've said, well, that could have happened to him anywhere, right? Mm-hmm. Things happen to people anywhere and everywhere. But what was amazing is they said, when we came back after that happened, people said, we need to know this God that you're trusting with something like that. We thought we would never see you again. We can't believe that you're back. Mm. Who is this God that you serve, that you trust him enough to come back to where your son was that close to dying?
That's amazing. And there again, I'm reminded of, I mean, I've just been soaking my heart in this story of Abraham and Sarah. Yeah. I'm seeing it everywhere in your story. But you know how God did provide for them and protected them in miraculous ways, like when Sarah was taken into Pharaoh's household, you know, mm-hmm. God protected her there. And then again in Abimelech's household, and just how it did look to these different kings and all of the onlookers, they were learning something about God. God makes promises and God keeps promises. And we like for those to be really nice and tight. You know, we like it to be 24-hour experiences where, you know, God makes a promise and he keeps it. We don't like these long stretches of having to work through a coma and a destroyed jaw and a head injury. Like, we don't enjoy those long stretches. But look at what God accomplished in that long stretch. Mm-hmm. He proved himself to be faithful, and he allowed them to be missionaries who displayed God's faithfulness to the rest of the community, right? Yes. To people who did not understand God's faithfulness. And so I just see that parallel. God sent Abraham and Sarah to this foreign country, and everybody, they didn't have red hair, but they certainly stood out, right?
Yeah, right.
Everybody was looking in on their life. It didn't make sense to anybody. Like, wait, why are you here? And why don't you go back? In our Hebrews text, it says, if they were thinking about where they came from, verse 15, they would have had an opportunity to return. So they were not thinking about home anymore. They had bigger things on their mind, but they now desire a better place, a heavenly one. You know, they were setting their minds on things above, and that's what your husband's family was doing. They're setting their minds. They have a bigger purpose in all of this. And I mean, God spent thousands of years between promising Jesus and sending Jesus. Those thousands of years. We so quickly, Heather, I think we, at least I do, I like to flip from the promises God made in Genesis 12 to Matthew, where God kept the promises. You know, like I just flipped over my Bible, you know?
That's right. Two seconds.
There are a lot of pages and a lot of centuries in between those two spots. And I mean, God was willing to spend that on us for the purpose of us learning that he is a God who is faithful. He does not forget his promises. Even though it would seem like, God, do you even see us here? Do you notice? Have you forgotten us? You know, have you forgotten your promises? And the answer is no. There is this faithfulness that it's like this building crescendo leading to the cross. God is a faithful God. And for those of us who are willing to leave everything behind and be caught up in this new identity and this new purpose of what God wants for us to display as this one chosen family to the rest of the world, like we get to display, no, he actually is a faithful God.
Yes.
But without those risks, without those obedience, get thee out, right?
Yeah.
We're really limited in the ways that we can display God's faithfulness or experience God's faithfulness. Yes.
Yeah. It's so true. I mean, I think about how if you say, oh, I trust this chair to hold my weight, but the person's like, well, I notice you're never sitting down on that chair.
Right.
You really trust that chair to hold your weight? You tell me you do. But you're like, oh, of course I do. I'm like, well, sit on it. Well, I have something else to go do right now. Or I just prefer all these other chairs. And you make excuses time and time again. There is the reality that people are going to wonder, well, you're not really proving what you say you believe.
Yeah. I have one other question though, because I think somebody listening could get the impression that you and I believe that because we are faithfully obeying God and taking those risks and going where he tells us to go, that things will always turn out the way we're hoping. You know, like we always right. will get the child back from the accident, the right. miscarriage, you know, your sister will live, yeah. you know, you will be able to navigate with the taxi in a foreign country with your grandparents and never get lost. Right. I don't know.
Right.
And that's, we don't have those promises. I think it's really important that we segment out what we have been promised and yes. what we haven't been promised.
Right.
So how does living, we have a choice of living by fear or by faith, you know, multiple right. times a day, right? Mm-hmm. So how does living by faith, how is that setting our minds on these promises? The verses I just read, Abraham and Sarah, they were desiring this better place, this heavenly place. And then it says, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. Mm-hmm. We as this people group, this family, the children of Abraham, we're living as strangers and foreigners in this world, like where we don't belong, but we're focusing on promises that don't really have as much to do with this world as the world to come. Talk about that. How did you experience that?
Yeah, that is a great question. And one that I have personally had to wrestle through, not just from experiences that I had in Mongolia, but even through my adult life. And often it's been because of watching others who love the Lord and have sacrificed so much lose, I mean, so much sorrow and devastation in their life. And I've sometimes wondered, Lord, it feels like too much. Even looking on, it feels like too much.
Yeah.
And why would you allow, say, in my situation with my sister, yeah. where the Lord chose to spare her life, brought her into the world as a healthy baby, or with my brother-in-law who God spared his life. But then I look at other people where God chose not to, but I see their lives so full of faith and living in this radical obedience to him. And God chose something different. And again, he has brought me back to this. Your story is my business and their story is my business. And I will choose to accomplish my purposes through varying details. I could have taken your brother-in-law to be with me. I could have taken your sister. I chose not to because I can see the beginning from the end and I know why. In these other people's stories where it looked different, I also see the beginning from the end and I know why I chose to take those things. To allow those things to be taken in cases where there was wrong done, you know, where in my sovereignty, I know what I'm doing and I know what I'm allowing. Mm-hmm. And we can fully trust him in that regardless of the outcome. Mm-hmm. And that's one thing my mother-in-law has often said when people have brought out like, well, you didn't lose your son. And she said, but I had to let him go. Mm-hmm. It was like putting Isaac on the altar.
Yeah.
They had no guarantee that God would spare his life. Mm-hmm. And my in-laws had no guarantee in that moment. They thought they had lost their son because of how bad shape he was in. It is absolutely miraculous. The doctors have said that he did not die. Mm-hmm. So God preserved his life. But they said he was, in our eyes, as good as gone. Mm-hmm. We had to say, Lord, he is yours. Our story is yours, and we're going to trust that to you. And I think that that has helped me time and again when I have wrestled over mostly watching other people's stories and things getting taken and wondering, sometimes feeling guilty about that too. And him saying, you can trust me that I know what I'm doing and I know why I am calling certain people to walk through certain trials. And one day, faith will be sight. Mm-hmm. And all you have to do is keep your eyes fixed on me. Mm-hmm. And don't worry about what you can't understand beyond that, beyond just trusting me and serving me.
You know, I think a good question to ask is there any particular type of story where God cannot display his faithfulness? Like, is there a story where the person dies or the baby comes too early or the person doesn't come out of the coma or whatever it is. Like, is there a story? Is there such a thing as a story where, well, that one God cannot display his faithfulness. Is it only the stories where we get the answer we're hoping for? No.
Absolutely not.
Any story is a story that God can display his faithfulness. And ultimately, the people who do get their kids back, who do survive the accident alongside the people who don't.
Right.
All of us will walk on the streets of that city that has the foundations. Like, we will walk there together.
Yes.
And that is the fullest demonstration of God's faithfulness.
That's right.
We haven't seen the end of the story yet, you know? And so I think we have to continually remind ourselves of what is it that we're actually promised? Because we don't have a lot of promises. You know, Heather, I've spent a lot of time thinking about the promises of God as I've studied Abraham and Sarah, and I've come to the conclusion we just don't have a lot of promises that we can hold on to as absolutes for the here and now. Most of our promises have to do with Jesus dying on the cross, forgiving our sin and giving us eternal life and preparing a place for us to live forever with God in heaven. Mm-hmm. That's the foundation of our lives. That's what we're building our lives on. And there may be a long stretch where it's just like those promises seem so far out into the distance. It doesn't really seem like it has relevance for today. And that's where we get to exercise our faith in God's faithfulness, right?
Right. Exactly. And I even think about some of the promises of God that we can hold on to today has so little to do with our material reality.
Yeah.
It's, I will never leave you or forsake you.
Yes.
If you seek me, you will find me. You know, these things that he says, it's all about the spiritual reality that we live in. Because we also know that it says in this life, you're going to suffer persecution.
Yeah.
You're going to have trials. You're going to have suffering. We know that. It's all about the reality of what Jesus has done for us. And it's because of the internal reality that we have his spirit within us, that we can look forward to being in his presence face to face with no more pain. The promises that we hold on to today, really, they don't change based off of whatever circumstance that we're facing.
Yeah. And what I love about what you just said is, you know, I've thought about how eternity, that is material. It's not only eternal, these promises that we have for after we die, when we're with God, they're not only like eternal, but they're also real. Like, there will be that street under our feet as we walk. There will be
a new trees. Heaven and a new earth.
Yes. There'll be trees overhead and fruit to eat and people to enjoy. Our family members, right? The family of Israel, of Abraham, will be gathered in this place and we will live forever. Now that is all material, but we most want the material now.
Yes.
And what we get to experience, though, is promises about the immaterial, right?
Yeah.
And those seem less important to us, and yet they anchor us. They get us ready for that material, eternal world that we'll get to experience. And so it is both material and immaterial. Mm-hmm. It's just where on the timeline, you know?
Exactly.
So right now we're experiencing so many immaterial blessings, right? Yeah. This is the only time in our lives that we have to exercise faith, because faith is when we can't see, right? When we cross over into eternity, that's when we can see. And that's when we get to experience all of the physical material realities. So it's kind of an irony. And just, I think knowing our place on the timeline is important.
Absolutely.
We are living in a time where we're not necessarily, you know, I mean, yes, there are promises that God will provide, but I know lots of people who go hungry.
Right.
But I don't know anyone who walks with God and throws themselves on his mercy. I don't know anyone who would say that God has not been faithful to them.
Yes.
I don't.
Yeah.
I don't.
Same.
Whatever their story is, our God is faithful. You know, I'm so grateful that God gave you these experiences, Heather, and that you have the opportunity to proclaim his faithfulness. That was a lot. That was a lot asked of you at age 12.
Mm.
And, you know, just as a wrap-up question, how do you see that laying a foundation for how God is using you today?
Hmm. I saw the Lord equipping me as a child. And I think, wow, that childlike faith, that literal childlike faith that I had,
yeah,
to just say, okay, I see that my parents have lived this out in front of me, and they're saying the same God lives inside of you and is going to enable you by his grace to do this difficult thing that he's asked of you right now. And ever since that time, the Lord has only increased my faith. When he gave me those experiences and those opportunities to walk by faith as a child and proved himself faithful. And so all throughout my teenage years, those built and built and built. And not once have I turned away from that because I saw it as at such a young age. And I just think, wow, what incredible mercy. I mean, I have seen this mountain of his faithfulness toward me in so many ways. And when he says, okay, I'm going to test your faith again, it's always a choice.
Yeah.
But the more I have said, okay, I'll take another step out in faith because I remember that you've been so faithful. And even though I don't know what the outcome of this is going to be, and even though the fear still comes knocking when I'm faced with those things, I don't know what the outcome of this obedience is going to be. I know that obedience to him brings unimaginable blessing of knowing he is with me, that he knows what he's doing when he calls me to any given thing. And that no matter what I face in the future, and no matter even what trials I'm going to face, because I'm 31, so I have a lot of, Lord willing, a lot of life left. I don't know what he has prepared for me, but I can walk into the future knowing that no matter what fearful thing, I often think about the verse where it talks about Sarah not fearing anything, you know, being like one of Sarah's daughters.
Yes. First Peter.
Who doesn't fear anything that's frightening, because fear's always been something that's been difficult for me. That the reality is there will be frightening things that will face me that I will have to come up against. But that by his grace, I don't need to fear those things because he will hold me. And even if it's to death, I go to be with him.
Right. Yeah.
And so those are the kinds of things that I still hold on to, some of which I can directly trace back to some of those experiences that I had, where not only did my parents live those out in front of me, but I was given the opportunity to live them out myself as a believer.
Praise God. Praise God. Heather, you exemplify a life that has been shaped by the promises of God and his faithfulness to you. So thank you so much for sharing your story with us today.
Well, it's been such a privilege.
Can I just remind you that each of these stories from the Bible is absolutely true? Rather than giving us a list of facts to memorize about himself, God gave us a book filled with stories, and each one helps us to know him and to understand this overarching story that we are all in. So I hope that you'll take some time looking at this story in your Bible. To help you study, I've put together my free Live Like It's True workbook, which includes my false narratives watch list, my story elements bookmark, and more. Live Like It's True is part of the Resound Podcast Network. For more gospel-centered resources, visit resoundmedia.cc. We've got that link for you, along with links to any of the other resources that we've mentioned in the show notes. Thanks so much for joining me. And now it's time to go live like it's true.